I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Things are gonna suck sometimes, no matter what. You're never gonna avoid that.
One thing that I'm particularly good at is I'm very good at like changing my mind about things. I don't get too attached to aspects of my identity. I don't feel committed to like, oh, this is how people see me, so I need to behave that way. I think I've been good throughout my life of like being willing to look at myself and be like, whoa, maybe I'm not an author. Maybe I just like had a good book. I'm very proud of that. And it's obviously a very important part of my life, but I don't necessarily see that as who I am.
What do you see as who you are, or do you avoid that kind of statement?
I avoid that statement.
Interesting. So that you don't get trapped?
Yes. I'm an author right now. And if that one day it stops being useful being an author, I will stop being an author. I think if I have a talent, personally, I think it's just the ability to kind of like swap labels within my identity. And I think being able to observe myself do that is what allowed me to write well about these topics. How do we make it easier for people to implement behavioral change, whether it's through apps, whether it's through video courses, whatever? That's kind of like become the problem I'm like zeroing in on at this stage of my career.
What's more valuable to the world? Is writing a book that affects a million people a little bit, or 10,000 very profoundly? Who's to say which one of those two things is better or more important, more valuable? So it's about finding a vision that can kind of bring both of those things together. It's about being realistic about who you are, where you are, and then also making a solid decision about like what is better in the world, what is a worthwhile pursuit.
You know, I do think there are ways to manipulate our level of desire or our level of motivation, I guess kind of the emotional aspect of like feeling fired up about something. I think most people, it's not hard for them to get fired up about something for a few days. It's once you get to like week two that most people tap out. I think people underestimate how influenced we are by our surroundings and our environment.
We all know we're capable of doing so much more than we actually do, but the only way you can really tap into that is to just overcommit. Like, just overcommit yourself, and you just find a way to do it.
We've developed a culture, which this is one of those things that in many ways it's great, but there's some negative side effects that I don't think have completely sunk in. But like, we've developed a culture where it is mainstream and widely okay to think about your own mental health first, to think about your own priorities, think about your own happiness, and figure out what kind of life you want to make. And obviously that's a great thing in a vacuum, but to your point, there's kind of a hidden cost to that, which is once you're given the freedom and the opportunity to think very deeply about who you're going to be and how are you going to be happy and how are you going to find meaning in the world, suddenly nothing is given to you. Suddenly you have to kind of conjure it out of thin air. The way I described this in Subtle Art was like, you know, 100 years ago, life was objectively worse. Like, it's sucked. Like, you're probably a subsistence farmer somewhere. You're probably in a war. or a famine or a depression.
Jesus.
But when you're living, but 100 years ago, it was always very, very clear what your purpose was, what the goal was, what the meaning in your life was. It was to survive, you know, don't get shot, don't get killed, and grow enough food to feed yourself and your family. And so everybody woke up every day knowing exactly what they were going to do that day, knowing exactly what had to be done, or else the consequence was potentially death. And so I think a lot of these existential questions that we wrestle with in the 21st century of like, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Like, these are luxuries. These are very, very first world problems. And in many ways, we've traded physical struggle for psychological struggle. Like, that is the hidden cost of our comforts and freedom that we've earned for ourselves over the past 5-6 generations.
There's a strong argument that affecting 10,000 people very deeply is arguably a more valuable contribution to the world. And so I started thinking of things in that way. And it took me a long time to kind of detach myself from that, because it's, I think when you're starting out as a writer, and this is probably true with podcasting and everything, you love seeing the numbers go up. You know, it's
of
like
course.
Every year the number is higher than the year before, and it feels good, it motivates you, you feel inspired, you're like, hell yeah, I'm growing, I'm getting better. And at some point though, like, once that number gets high enough, you gotta let go of it. You gotta let go of it, because it's not sustainable once it's that high, you know. Mm-hmm. It's you're gonna run out of oxygen.
Yeah.
And so it was a difficult process to kind of get back to like, okay, I need to write a book. Step one, write a book I love, you know, because when I started, so this next book, Everything is Fucked, I started out, I was like, all right, you know, I gotta keep the train going, you know? And so I like started trying to write stuff that, you know, I thought subtle art readers were gonna really love. And yeah, it felt very empty. It started to feel like a job.
Which, forced.
Yeah, which I didn't become an author to have a job. I became an author, so, you know, I can do what I love. And I just kept scrapping it. I'm like, no, this isn't going well. And eventually I had to just get back to like, okay, I need to write for myself first. Then once I have a book that I'm proud of, that I think is great, then I can look at it and say like, okay, like, how can we, you know, maybe change this or market this so that it'll sell a lot of copies. You know, that's step two. Uh-huh. But step one, it always has to be, in a creative process, it always has to be about yourself first.
There is a certain level of depth of meaning when you have shared a decade with somebody and you've been through the best times and the worst times with that person. You've had joy with that person, you've had pain and fear with that person, and you're still with them, and they've watched you grow through that, and you've watched them grow through that. Like, that is so rare and special. And it is, you can't replicate that in any other way. And once that clicked for me, that like, wait a second, this thing that I've been spending all these years focusing so much on was oversold to me, was like overhyped, dating a bunch of people and hooking up with a bunch of hot girls and getting all that validation from that. And this thing that most people complain about, which is marriage, is totally undersold to me. Like, the joy and the meaning and the impact of, like, you know, seeing my wife accomplish something in her business that she's been working 3 years towards, and watching her stress through it, and giving her support and giving her advice, like watching her succeed in that moment, like, it's so much more impactful and meaningful than like the best one night stand I ever had. Like, it's not even on the same, you know, you're not even in the same territory when you compare those two things. That revelation was like so profound for me. And I'm a little bitter that like that message isn't, like, I started wondering, I'm like, where was this message when I was 20, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because when I was 20, the message was, no, dude, you need to bang as many girls as possible and never settle down. And, you know, because that's like what a high status alpha male does, or, you know, whatever the thing was back then. And that was fun for a couple of years, but like, it doesn't serve you well long term. I have intentionally kind of been an advocate for classical monogamy and marriage, because I think it is in this day and age, it is underrated.
I'm a big proponent of just vulnerability in general. That applies across the spectrum. So our private relationships, our public relationships, professional relationships, everything. And the thing that makes vulnerability so important and so powerful is that it creates a transparency and a trust between everybody involved. You know, when you're willing to expose your weaknesses or at least be honest about them, it helps people know that you're dependable.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.